to the word. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Luke 24, Luke chapter 24, verses 5 through 6. This is by far the best Sunday to ever be able to preach on. I mean, if I can't preach today, I'm in trouble. It's Resurrection Sunday. Like I said earlier, the greatest day in all of human history is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so today we're going to be talking about that, but I like to do a little bit of a play on it. So you'll see in just a minute what we're going to be discussing. So if you have your Bibles, would you do me a favor, out of reverence for God's word, would you stand to your feet? We're going to be reading just two simple verses, Luke chapter 24, verse 5 through 6. Luke chapter 24, verse 5 through 6. The words will appear on your screen. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. Like I said, they shall appear at some point on the screen. Oh, right. You got to do our Bible affirmation. That's what she was waiting on. All right. So before we do that, let's raise our Bibles or our electronic devices high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God that will change my life forever. All right. Luke chapter 24, verse 5 through 6. Let's read together. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Come on, somebody shout, "He is not here, but he's risen." Come on and shout out, "Hallelujah." Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this message today. We praise you, Lord, that you are not among the dead, but you are among the living, that you are not here, but you have been risen. Lord, move me aside. Holy Spirit, come in and help us to preach this word today with power and conviction in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, can you just turn to somebody and say, "Reverse search"? Turn to somebody else and say, "Look, it's time to reverse the search." Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I want to share with you that I feel a little bit like the words of the late and what the millennials say, great Nipsey Hussle said, "This is a marathon," because this has been a marathon. I have been speaking every day for the last 5 days, and I'm excited to be with y'all today. But I want to tell you that the Lord has been working with me all week on a word just for you. And this word is reverse the search. The point of this message, the question that they ask is a powerful one. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for somebody? You don't go to the graveyard looking for your cousin that's alive. You don't show up in the graveyard looking for your friend that's still alive. You go to the graveyard looking for people who are dead. And when they got to the tomb, the question was, why are you here looking for the living among the dead? I thought that's a kind of messed up question. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus, they saw him get crucified on Friday. They saw him die. They put him in a tomb. They rolled a stone in front of them. Can you imagine coming and you're going to visit great-grandmama or mama them and muddy who died? Y'all don't know because I'm from the South. Y'all don't know about that. They're going to find those people who we had just had a burial service just simply a few days before, and they're going to visit the tomb, and someone shows up and says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" I want to suggest to you today that we have a problem in the church, and that problem is we keep looking for life in dead things. We keep trying to find wholeness and purpose in things that have no value in our lives. I mean, after all, those of us who have started out doing things, I got to be careful because the children are here. Those of us who started out doing things that we know are wrong, we started out looking for love in all the wrong places. We started out trying to get something back that was never designed to give us that thing that we were looking for. We started out trying to fill a void in our heart because we needed love, or we needed acceptance, or we needed someone to value us, or we needed someone to say, "You are amazing, you're powerful, there's nobody greater than you." And since we couldn't find that, we went on a search on our own, and we started looking for living things, the things that would tell us who we are, the things that would value us, among dead stuff. Stuff that couldn't provide. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Now, here's my problem with this. I get excited when I think about Jesus coming back, and I can talk to you about the resurrection. And I know many of you know the story because I've told it 5 times already this morning. If you don't know the end, he got up. What I'm fascinated with is, what did Jesus do next? When he got up, we're told through scripture that he has 40 days before he's going to go back to heaven. So I want to know, what did he do during the 40 days? I mean, if you had just gotten up, come on, let's be honest. If you was on your deathbed, if you was in the hospital, and you was saying, all of a sudden, you get up and you start feeling better, what's the first thing you going to do? Some of y'all going to go pop some bottles. They don't want to be honest in church. Some of us are going to go find over all of our families, and we're going to have a party, and we're going to go hang out, and we're going to be celebrating the fact that, I thought I was going to die, but I'm alive. Think about it. Jesus only got 40 days to let everybody know, look, I'm back. You tried to kill me, but he only got 40 days. So I wonder, what does Jesus do during this time? Because I think what he does first is super important to us. So Jesus has gotten up out of the grave. He's alive. And the Bible tells us in Luke 24 what he starts to do. He's not there. Where does he go? Well, let's take a look at this. Here's what's interesting. Luke 24, verse 13. This is right after they realized he was gone. The Bible says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Somebody say it's about to be a 7-mile miracle. I love that. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed in reasons that Jesus himself drew near and went with him. Hold on. 40 days left. Jesus goes and finds 2 random people. Bible don't even say who their name was until later in the passage. 2 very random people who, by the way, are walking in the wrong direction. 40 days on earth, Jesus shows up to 2 random folks going the wrong way. I'm like, look here, Jesus, if I was your press agent, I would be like, we need to get a release on Facebook. Matter of fact, we need to do an Instagram video. Let's go live so that everybody can see that you're up. Let's have you talking. Matter of fact, let's script it where you come out the tomb and we put some smoke. Y'all know how they do it on the TV shows that y'all see. And we want to just play amazing music, and then we just want to come back and just say, he has risen. You thought you had him, but he's back. We want to start tweeting. Come on, everybody. If I was his press agent, I'd say, tweet everybody. Tell everybody that Jesus is back. He's alive. Come on, we got to look. If we really want to do this well, go get Beyonce during her homecoming tour and have Jesus show up in the middle of the homecoming tour on the Netflix special so that everybody could see that Jesus is back. But Jesus says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to 2 very random people who you've never heard of. I mean, even if he would have showed up to like Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, he didn't even go to those people. He went to 2 very random, ordinary people going the wrong direction. Because after all, Jerusalem was the place where it was going on. Jerusalem was the place where Jesus had been crucified. It was the place where he was buried. It was the place where he had promised that he was going to send his Holy Spirit, which meant in a few days there was supposed to be a party in Jerusalem. And these 2 people, very random, decide, I'm out of here, and I'm going to take a 7-mile journey to this place called Emmaus. Now, what's interesting is Emmaus is not some town that we can find today because it was so insignificant. As a matter of fact, you can't locate Emmaus on a map. So here are 2 random people going the wrong direction to a place nobody cared about. And Jesus shows up. I want to talk to some folks who feel like you're ordinary and maybe feel like you've been going in the wrong direction and maybe feel like you don't even know where your destination is. And I want to tell you that God came and stopped by to have you come to this house today to show up just for you. He reversed the search. You see, we think we come seeking Jesus, but Jesus said, no. I'm going to find you wherever you are. I'm going to find, no matter what you're going through, no matter the heartache you're feeling, I'm going to find you. How many of y'all ever felt like you can't shake God even if you tried? You don't know what I'm talking about? Let me see if I can break this down for you. You know, you about to get, oh, I can't say that. You about to do something wrong. The kids are like, wonder what she was going to say. This is the reason why, if those of you who don't know, we have a separate church for our children where Pastor B can be more politically correct for them because I have a problem. But you ever notice when you're getting ready to do something that you know you ain't supposed to do, something inside of you just keep nagging you, won't let you do it? That's God trying to say, I'm not going to leave you alone. And you do it anyway. I got to be real. I hate when we come to church and act like we so holy and we so perfect and we got it all together and we don't do nothing wrong and we all right. No. I cuss still a little. I still go off on people just a little. I still get mad. Come on, yesterday I was yelling at folks. Shit, I'm the pastor of the church. Look, we all do some dirt at some point in our lives. And just because I get saved don't mean I stop doing dirt. And even though I'm saved, come on, the Holy Spirit said, I'm not going to leave you over there. I'm going to mess with you and keep talking to you. I know you're going in the wrong direction. I know you're going to a place that won't give you the life that you want. I know you're trying to find love in all the wrong places, but guess what? I ain't going to leave you alone. I know you feel hopeless. I know you feel like your situation isn't changing. I know you feel like things aren't getting better. But hold on, because Jesus says, wherever you are, I'm going to reverse the search and I'm going to come find you. I'm not going to let you be out there by yourself. Anybody ever been in a situation where you know something bad should have happened to you? You should have been in jail. You should have been locked up. You should have been in the hospital. Nobody know what I'm talking about. Okay, if you don't know, just think back to your first boyfriend or your first girlfriend. Come on, say hallelujah, he brought me out. He brought me out. That was God saying, I'm not going to stop looking for you. I'm not going to stop searching for you. As a matter of fact, the writer of Psalms 23 tells us that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means when I'm on my road, if I look back, goodness is on my right, and I look to my left, mercy is on my left. That means goodness and mercy have been chasing me down all my life, saying, I'm not going to let you, come on somebody, I'm not going to let you get too far. I'm not going to let you run. I'm not going to let you walk away forever. I'm going to come chase you. Why? Because I care about you. I mean, of all the things Jesus could have been doing, he's chasing down folks going the wrong way as soon as he gets up. That ought to give us some hope that he cares about me, that he's crazy about you. If you ever wondered if God cares about you, you ought to look at this story right here. Because Jesus could have been on the biggest stage of the world at the time shouting, I'm back. But Jesus went after people who were going the wrong way just to tell them, I'm still looking for you. I still love you. This is a powerful story because this story messes with my mind. And it messes with my mind because the Bible starts to talk about these people walking on the road. And I start thinking about the fact that God cannot be found in our destinations, but that God is found in the details of our journey. God was not necessarily found in where they were going. God was found in the detail of where they were at. And I start thinking about how many of us get so caught up on where we're going that we miss God right where we're at. God, God, I'm not here there yet. I haven't achieved this yet. I haven't done this yet. When I go to college, when I graduate, how many times do we give God all these conditions on when we going to get closer to him, or when we going to finally serve him, or when we going to finally do, when the kids leave, God, then I'll be ready to come, and I can come to church all the time. When the kids get out my house, because they come back. Y'all know they come back, don't you? Mine better not come back. They got to go. When they come back, God, then I'll do this. We always have some destination. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. We always feel like there's some other place that we're supposed to be. And we struggle because we're not there yet. And we miss the fact that we're going to wait to do something for God, or wait to give our life to God, or wait till something happens for God. And God is like, look, you're missing me. I'm in the details of your journey right now. While you go, because see, your destination's still wrong. While you're going the wrong way, I'm still right there with you. I still love you. I'm still walking with you. I'm still talking with you. We look for God in the destinations, but God is often in our detours. He's often in the detour of where we go. Look, aren't you glad God shows up in the detour? Aren't you glad God just don't wait till you arrive at being holy and arrive at being perfect and arrive at getting your life together? Because if that was the case, I would never know Jesus. Because I'm still not there yet. God doesn't wait for that. God says, come on, while you on your way going the wrong direction, I'm gonna show up. I'm trying to tell you that the perfect, flawless Son of God turned his back where everybody was in Jerusalem, set out on a road to an unknown place, followed two people because they've never met before, because he cared. Because he's not the God of the arrival. He's right there with you. He's walking with you, and he's talking with you. God meets you in the detour. So here we are. They're meeting him in the detour, and we look here in verse 15. Put that on the screen for me. Verse 15. So it was that as they're walking, they start conversing, and they reasoned. And while they reasoned, Jesus drew himself near them, and he walked with them. So here they are, minding the events, because you got to remember, they remember that here's Jesus had just been crucified, the biggest event in all of the times. They're talking about it, and they're walking, and they're talking about things, and Jesus just pops up in the middle. Now, what's interesting is that God didn't show him who he was when he popped up. Go on to the next verse. It actually says, watch this, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. They were kept from knowing Jesus. Have you ever been kept from recognizing Jesus in the middle of your situation? Have you ever looked back and said, wow, he was right there? You ever had to leave your house and so, you know, you get ready to leave the house and the kids do something stupid and you got to stop, turn around, change your clothes because now they done threw up on themselves and you mad that they threw up on themselves and now we're going to be late everywhere. And then you get ready to walk out the house and you go and you realize and you see an accident on the side of the road. Have you ever thought that maybe God made your child throw up on their clothes in that moment? Because that accident could have been you. Yeah, have you ever thought about that? Maybe we keep missing God in the day-to-day of our lives because we don't recognize him, because we're so focused on where we're trying to get to that we miss God in the now. We're so focused on what we're trying to achieve. And so here's Jesus showing up, and he shows up on the road with them. I want you to know that no matter what you go through in life, the result is that God will use whatever you're going through to reveal himself to you. Whatever mess you're in, God will show up and show you himself in the middle of it. They were in a mess. They were minding. We have people who had drug and alcohol addictions, people who have been in the middle of divorces, people who have been going through all kinds of situations in the life of this church, and God shows up in the middle. And he begins to reveal himself to them, because sometimes we can't recognize him. How many times have I been kept from recognizing what God was doing right in front of me? How many times have I been kept from recognizing ordinary moments of joy because I was waiting on things to get perfect? How many times have I missed the joy of my family because I was just so tired today that I didn't stop to enjoy the people that God had placed in my life? How many times have I missed the opportunity to give something of myself because I was so self-centered? I was so focused on how I feel and what I need and what I didn't get. How many times have I thought about the person that I said I was going to spend the rest of my life with and got mad at what they were doing, so much so that I missed how amazing they really were? Y'all not hearing me. How many times do I miss God showing up and see the goodness of God in the middle of my trials? There is always good in the middle of your mess. Nope, nobody won't talk about that. Because you know what we want? We want the God who will zap us out of the mess. Come on, Jesus. Show up right now, right here. And teleport me away from this hellhole of a marriage, these crazy kids, this job I can't stand. Hurry up and get me out of this. And you know what God is saying? There were three Hebrew boys who were facing a trial. And it was a fire. And the Bible says that they got placed in the fire. But before they went in the fire, they said, it don't matter what you say or do to us, the God we serve is still able to deliver us. So I'm thinking, God, if you're going to show up, don't let me go through the fire. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Look, if you're going to show up, just keep me from getting sick. Don't heal me in my sickness, just keep me from getting sick. Yeah, if you're going to show up, don't let me get real, Poe. Matter of fact, come through before they turn the lights off. So I had to experience that because nobody want to be up there with some candles. Can nobody see at this age? No way. Matter of fact, God, can you show up before I go through it? And they were like, God, he's able to get us through it. But God still allowed them to get in the fire. Y'all are missing this. Some of us don't want the fires and the trials, but God is saying the fires and the trials are used to refine you. It was in the fire that when they got in there, the Bible says that they didn't burn. You got to know when you're going through trials, when you're going through difficult stuff, you're going to go through some mess, but that don't mean it's going to mess with you. That don't mean you're going to burn up. This is the reason why you don't look like what you've been through. Because some of us ought to look like we in a straitjacket because of some of the crazy stuff we've been through. So I'm not talking about adults, I'm talking about kids too. We got some kids who done been through all kind of mess with their mamas and their daddies and their cousins and their sisters, and yet they coming out and everybody look at them, they think they're so pretty, they're such great kids. They done been through some. Praise God, they done went through the fire, but the fire hasn't burned them up. It hasn't consumed them. Come on, I need some people who has not had the fire consume them to just give God a little bit of praise. To just say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They were in the fire. They didn't get consumed. But what got me was the king who threw them in there said, wait a second. Did I throw three little Hebrew boys in there? He said, well, why do I see four? And the fourth looks like the Son of God. And I stopped when I saw that, and I had to give God just a little bit of praise because he is not the God who will see you in a fire and say, good luck with that, I'll see you on the other side. He's not the kind of God that will see you in a fire and say, let me send somebody to help you. He's not the kind of God that will get up out the grave and go about his business, but will come and find you. And he will not only come and get you, but he'll walk with you through the trials. He'll walk with you through the mess. He's getting down in the fire right there with you. I know you're tired. I know you're stressed. I know you're worried. I know you're sick. I know you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But you need to know that the God that I serve will get down in the middle of the fire with you. And he will tell you, I got you. And he will walk with you. And he'll talk with you. And he'll protect you. And he'll keep you. And he'll love you. And he'll say, baby girl, son or daughter, you're going to be all right. I'm going to get you out of this. I thank God that Jesus doesn't snap his finger and get us out of stuff. Because if he did, I wouldn't see him with me when I was going through it. See, this is the reason why family is so important. My brother, I love my brother. Many of y'all know that's my boy. A lot of people have known me for a long time, but they haven't walked through the fire with me like my brother. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I love y'all. I've known Pastor B for over 20 years. I've known Lydia for over 20 years. And I thank God for them. I thank God, Mr. Mark. We've known them for a long time. And I'm grateful for those relationships. I've known Regina. Regina is my old roommate. She's here. I met her when I was like 21. Right, Regina? Super close to all of them. But ain't nothing like the one who was there with me in the beginning, my brother. Because he was the one with me in that crazy household I lived in. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. He walked with me when my father was an alcoholic beating my mother. He walked with me when we didn't have money. He walked with me when we struggled. He walked with me, come on somebody, when I thought I was going to lose my mind. He walked with me when my mother passed, and he walked with me when my father passed, and he walked with me when my husband passed, and he walked with me when my children were born, and he walked with me when I didn't have, and he walked with me when I had. So because he walked with me, we got something special here. He understands me in a way that nobody understands me. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I'm not just trying to be there for you. I'm trying to be there with you. Because if I'm with you, you need to know I understand every single thing you are going through. And I get it. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. I know you want to quit. I know you want to give up. I know you're sick and tired. But let me tell you something. I'm right here with you. And I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I had a chance. Y'all know DeMarcus Cousins got hurt recently. I'm a huge basketball fan. And I had a chance to pray with his future mother-in-law this week. And as I was talking to her, all I kept telling her was, just tell him God's in the middle of it. Here's a guy who last year was supposed to get $216 million in a contract from somebody, tore his Achilles, didn't know where he was going to go, made a phone call. God was in the middle. He came to what I believe will be another championship team with the Warriors. Very small contract. Had never played in a playoff game. Played one playoff game and about 4 minutes of a second one. Tore his quad. May not play in the playoffs for this year. Everybody thought, big contract's about to come, because look at how good he's come back from this difficult injury. And all I keep thinking was, don't worry, God's in the middle. And when I called his mother-in-law and we talked, I said, I just want you to know I'm praying for him and I'm praying for your daughter. I know things are tough, and I was checking on her. She said something to me that she said, it amazes me that he's still praising God and trusting God in the middle of this. And I stopped and I said, God, I don't have $216 million on the table to lose. I'm just talking about the $20 my friend didn't give me back. And yet, I can still praise you. Because you're right there with me. Because you'll never leave me nor forsake me. They went on this road and they started talking. It was interesting because they started trying to explain to the guy who all this stuff happened to what had happened in Jerusalem. They were like, yeah, there was this dude, Jesus, and like he died and they killed him, but he got back up. But we don't know what happened. They didn't know he'd gotten up. And at one point, Jesus revealed himself to them and said, I'm right here. And the Bible says they actually turned from Emmaus and went back to Jerusalem. They were on the wrong road, and they turned around, and they got pointed back in the right direction. Jesus shows up in the middle of your mess so that he can give you a detour right back to the right direction, to the place you're supposed to be. If you are struggling in your marriage, God sent you here because today, he wants you to know I'm right with you and I'm going to turn things around. If you're struggling with your health, maybe the doctor has given you a diagnosis. You need to know that God is showing up today to reverse the search. He's searching for you. If you're struggling with an addiction, he's searching for you. If you're struggling financially, he's searching for you. If you're just struggling because you're like, I don't even know who I am anymore, he's here for you. Come on and stand to your feet right now. This morning, Jesus brought me here to reverse the search. You think you came looking for Jesus, but Jesus is like, I've been looking for you all along. I never left you. Would you do me a favor? Everybody grab hands with the person you're standing next to. Come on, hold people's hand. I sense that there's some people that are here today that you know you've been going in the wrong direction. Maybe you don't even know where that direction is, but you just know it's not the right one. And God brought you here because he's trying to show up and reverse the search and change things. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to just kind of think about this for a second. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, God, I need you in my mess. I need you in the middle of this situation. I need you with me. I want to make sure that I know you're with me, and I want to try something different. If you're here today and you want to give Jesus an opportunity to just show up and reveal himself to you so that you can just get pointed in the direction that he's called you to be in, if you want transformation, if you want change, if you want something different in your life, I want you to do me a favor and just squeeze the hand of the person you're standing next to. Squeeze their hand as a sign to say, you know what, Jesus, I need you. I thank you that you've shown up for me. I thank you that you're with me. Thank you, you're walking with me. If somebody squeezed your hand, would you do me a favor? Would you just lift their hands in the air for me? I want to just pray for them. I just want to pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All over the building, their hands lifted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me something just because we want to identify, and I'm not going to make you say anything in front of people. I won't embarrass you, but I do want you to know that God's been searching for you. And I want to encourage you, if somebody squeezed your hand, would you do me a favor and just walk them to the altar? Don't let them come by themselves. Just come on and walk them up. We're just going to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make things difficult for you because I want to make this as easy as possible. But if somebody squeezed your hand, come on and bring them on up. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if they squeezed your hand, don't let them go by themselves. Come on, make some room right here. Come on up, make some room right here. Come on, make some room. Somebody squeezed your hand. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Luke. Look, don't be afraid. All you did was squeeze a hand. I'm not going to kill you. Because God's doing something very special right now. Now, if someone squeezed your hand, could you do me a favor and just take a step and stand behind them so we know? If y'all squeeze each other's hand, just stand together. That's no problem. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray for you guys. Those of you who squeeze somebody's hand, we're going to pray for you. Because you need to know that God has been looking for you. And he's never left. He's not walked away from you. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right there. I feel like the Lord wants to strengthen some people who feel like they were about to fall apart this afternoon. Who feel like life is just too hard. Things are too difficult. I feel like God just wants to strengthen you right now. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, that you would be saved. Salvation doesn't mean that God will just pick you up out of your problems. Salvation means that God is walking with you, protecting you, keeping you, covering you, bringing you back to wholeness, turning you in the right direction. That's what it means. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So what we're going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. But I'm not going to ask you to do it by yourself. I'm going to ask everybody here to say it with you so you don't feel like you're alone. Would you just repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I was headed on the wrong way. But I thank you that you showed up and you reversed the search to come and get me. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you were buried, and you rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. Now, Jesus, come into my heart. Walk with me. Reveal yourself to me. Show me how you've been there for me when I didn't know you were there. Fill my heart in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.